Consent matters.
Yes, it does.
Consent always does. Revocable. Awesome. Yeah. So this is an opportunity for us to like engage with scripture for the fun of it, right? Like it's life. It turns out it's life giving.
Yeah. Who knew? Right. Yeah. It's I think one of the primary ways in which we get to experience God, right? Like this is the primary way in which humans get to learn a little bit about who God is.
Yeah. Turns out we are a book religion. And so we should probably read the book. Read it slowly. Keep reading. Read it again.
Read it again.
That's right. So shout out to you, Brent Strong. I'm sure you're listening.
Yes. Hat tip, Brent Strong.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Well, will you introduce yourself, where you are, how you identify, your pronouns, and just kind of whatever else you want to share?
Yeah. Well, I'm Kim Jenny. I'm the Midwesterner in this conversation. I currently serve as the Director of Connectional Ministries for the Missouri Conference of the United Methodist Church, which is a fancy title for the person that helps to connect local churches to the annual conference to the general church, and to help resource our local churches in a number of areas, including discipleship and multicultural leadership and healing justice, lots of fun things. I really love my job. It's great. My pronouns are she and her, and I am really, I like to describe myself as a persistent but inconsistent disciple of Jesus Christ. I get up every morning with intention, but often find that I have to recommit myself every single day because, I'm kind of an inconsistent disciple.
Luke chapter 21, 34 to 22, 6.
Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and stand before the human one. Every day, Jesus was teaching in the temple, but he spent each night on the Mount of Olives. All the people rose early in the morning to hear him in the temple area. The festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the legal experts were looking for a way to kill Jesus because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went out and discussed with the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard how he could hand Jesus over to them. They were delighted and arranged payment for him. He agreed and began looking for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them, a time when the crowds would be absent. Here ends the reading.
Here ends the reading, man. Yeah, it is like just such a, it's, I don't know if intense is the word that comes to me, but
yeah. You can feel the drama building, right? Like this is, we're getting into kind of a serious point of the story where everything seems to start falling together, especially this kind of second section, right? Like we know, like, hey, Passover's coming, right? Like something big's going to happen, right? Passover, that, what does it say? The chief priests and the legal experts, they're looking for a way. It's just like, it's very dramatic. Like everything seems to be culminating. So it's an ominous. Yeah.
Yeah. And for us, like, we've been like tiptoeing into Lent, right? Like, I mean, you hit it hard with Ash Wednesday, like,
yeah,
you know, repent and believe the gospel or ashes to ashes, whatever your choice is. But, and now it's like, no. Judas is coming. Serious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're headed down the pathway that Jesus has laid out, right? Like, so it's really, cause this is still like, we just had the first Sunday in Lent when we read this. So it still feels like we got 7 weeks of this.
Yeah. There's a long, right. Like, oh, it feels like we were there.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does feel like we're there. It feels like death is at hand, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
very tangible. So those first verses we read about the, you know, pay attention, stay alert. Right. Take care. I do think that you're right in that that makes sense. And especially as we come to it in early Lent, it's a good reminder to us of like, pay attention to what's happening. So like, so you decide you're fasting this year or say you've decided to spend part of your week in silence or whatever, and you might start off strong, but the whole point of that, right? Those disciplines is for you to pay attention. To be alert, to experience a little bit of solitude in relationship with Jesus in that time. And so I think I love that this meets us early in Lent as a reminder to like, come on, stay awake, pay attention, right? And we're going to hear this message again, right?
Right.
From Jesus, right? Like a little later in the story, we're going to be reminded of like, oh yeah, he talked about, you know, making sure that our decision-making center, our hearts, right? Like aren't dulled by these things, that we're really staying awake and paying attention. And we're going to hear that a little later in the story.
Yeah. I also was really struck in your reading, chapter 22, verse 5, they were delighted and arranged payment for him. It's like, they are like, I think about the times when I am delighted about things that I wish I was not.
Yeah.
I have a situation where like, I had an opportunity to like cut something off for somebody and like, it needed to be done. Right. Like I was asked by somebody else to do it and I did it. And I was like, oh, that gives me so much joy. And I was like, that should not give me joy. Right. Like this person is like having a hard time, which is why I needed to do this. But like, I shouldn't get joy from that. Yeah. And like, to me, it's like exactly what is happening with those church leaders who are like, so excited, like, oh, we've figured it out. We're gonna be able to get rid of
it. I mean, you can see it's, I want to think like the old Bugs Bunny commercials when you think of, or cartoons, when you think of kind of the criminals, right? It's just like, you know, this kind of greedy, like we've been waiting for this opportunity and it kind of fell into our lap, right? Like finally things are coming together. And I think you're right. I think that one of the things that I think we might be tempted to do when we read this part of the story is to, you know, all of a sudden want to get into like investigative mode about Judas and be like, why did he do that? Right? Like what was he thinking? Or like, what's going through his mind? What were his motives? And I think the more powerful thing that has been for me is to think like, when are the times when I have been looking for opportunities in which to kind of push my own agenda through, or to your point, when have I been delighted about the actions of others that are life draining or tearing down the community rather than building up the community? Because I certainly have been in that place. And so to me, I think it's a miss when we just use it as kind of like, let's treat this like an episode of like Law and Order and think about like Judas is kind of like what his motives are versus like, well, what's your motive? What's my motive?
Well, and I'm like, of course he did that. Like, what do you mean? Like,
he's a human being.
Like, why would he do that? Like, why would he not do that? Right. Like, and this is where I disagree with some people, because I think, like, given the choice, like, with just me involved, I'm going to do that. We think Judas thought what he was doing was, like, advancing what God wanted to be done.
Absolutely. I mean, Judas is our stand-in, right? Because I think that, I think you're right. I think the vast majority of us would probably be doing what Judas is doing. And it's because, I mean, he's pretty convicted that what he is doing is going to usher in the kingdom of God, yeah. Right? And it also serves to remind us how radical Jesus's teaching is, right? This whole, that it's an internal revolution and of our lives, right? That's going to make the difference rather than this political upheaval, right? I know that was disappointing for Judas and yeah. for so many others. I mean, we know that from other stories of like people in the crowd that turned away,
yeah,
disappointed. Or when we think about what does it mean to try to follow this Jesus, like when we take Jesus's teaching seriously, it changes the world around us, right? In the same ways that it did in first century Palestine. So yeah, it is a complete upheaval.
And I think this is probably a good time in Lent for us to remember, like, this is serious business, right? We are talking about paying attention so our lives can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot to grapple with. So I think often I like kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, life changed, transformed. Great. I'm working on it. Thanks, God. But I love this season of like over and over again saying like, no, but really.
Yeah, but really. And, you know, it's not... it's also not rocket science. I mean, because when we look at 37, so 21, 37, real simple little sentence. Every day, Jesus was teaching in the temple, but he spent each night in the Mount of Olives. Like, that's like basically the rhythm of Jesus's daily life, right? Like, so he was spending time teaching others, reading scripture, right? Immersing himself in the word. And then in the evening, he spent on the Mount of Olives, which is, we know, was a place of prayer for him, for time to spend with his friends, for quiet, for solitude, which is not a bad summary for how we might want to think about incorporating it in our own lives, yeah. Right? And so it doesn't have to be this really big, like, you know, kind of crazy upheaval of your own, the way you live your life, but what are the ways in which you're kind of modeling Jesus in this? How are you spending time with scripture? How are you spending time in your Mount of Olives, right? Like in prayer and quiet, solitude, silence, but also with community, right?
Yeah. You know, at Front Porch, I talk a lot about like the sacred act of neighboring, which is like those things that draw us into something bigger than ourselves. I always say like, we are really drawn, I think, to those big moments of the sacred act of neighboring, right? Like, oh, I went over and mowed my neighbor's lawn, which is awesome. Like, you should do that. But what I think really makes the difference are those small, intentional daily acts of neighboring. Yeah. And, you know, the same is true for our relationship with God and our transformation, right? I love a big moment, but really our lives are shaped with small, intentional moments.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, will you pray for us?
Absolutely. Holy God, we thank you for the ways in which we can experience your love through the small acts of neighboring. We thank you for the neighbors in our own lives who've interceded on our behalf, who've shown us grace, who've shown us kindness, who've shown us peace. And we pray that this day we might find one small way to be that for someone else. We thank you for the time spent thinking about your son Jesus and the story that is building in the Gospel of Luke. May we find ways to immerse ourselves in this story and to spend time pondering it in our hearts. We pray this in the name of the one who has shown us the way. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, friend.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. This is great.
This is a joy.